भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th canto 60th chapter entitled Krishna teases Rukmini text 40
जाड्यं वचं तव गदाग्रजयस्तु भूपान् विद्राव्यसारङ्गनिनादेन जहर्त मां त्वम् सिंहो यथा स्वबलिम् ईशपासम् स्वभागम् तेभ्यो भयात् यद् उदादिन् शरणम् प्रपन्ना जाड्यम् वचस्तव गदाग्रजस्तु भूपान् विद्राव्यसारङ्गनिनादेन जहर्त मां त्वम् सिंहो यथा स्वबलिमीश पशून् स्वभागम् तेभ्यो भयात् यदुदधिम् शरणम् प्रपन्ना जाड्यम् वचस्तव गदाग्रजयस्तु भूपान् विद्राव्यशारङ्गनिनदेन जहर्त मां त्वम् सिंहो यथा स्वबलिमीश पशून् स्वभागम् तेभ्यो भयात् यतुदधिम् शरणम् प्रपन्ना सिंहो यथा स्वबलिं यशून् स्वभागम् तेभ्यो भयातु दधिं शरणं प्रपन्ना जाड्यं वचस्तव तवाकृयतस्तु भूपान् द्राव्यतेऽङ्गनिनदेन जहर्त मां त्वम् सिंहो यथा स्वबलिमीशमशून् स्वभावम् तेभ्यो भयात् यदुदधिं शरणं प्रपन्ना जाड्यं यचस्तव तवाग्रजस्तु त्वभूपान् विद्रावशारङ्गनिनदेन जहर्त मां त्वम् सिंहो यथा स्वबलिमीश पशून् स्वभावम् तेभ्यो भयात् दधिं शरणं प्रपन्ना
मतजिस् word by word meaning
osa adyam vachas gadagrajastu bhupan vidravya sangraninadena jahartamam tvam simho yata swabalimisha pashun swabhagam तेभ्यो भयात् उदधिं शरणं प्रपन्ना
वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग जाड्यम फूलिशनेस वचः वर्ड्स
తవ యువర్ గదాగ్రజ ఓ గదాగ్రజ యహ హూ తు ఈవన్ భూపాన్ ద కింగ్స్ విద్రావ్య డ్రైవింగ్ అవే యారంగ ఆఫ్ షారంగ యువర్ బౌ నినాదేన బై ద రిజౌండింగ్ జహర్త టు కవే మాం మీ త్వం యూ సింహ ఎ లయన్ యథా యాజ్ స్వ యువర్ ఓన్ బలిం ట్రిబ్యూట్ ఇష ఓ లార్డ్ పశున్ ఎనిమల్స్ స్వభాగం హిజ్ ఓన్ షేర్ తేభ్యః ఆఫ్ దెమ్ భయాత్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఫియర్ యత్ దాట్ ఉదధిం ఆఫ్ ద ఓషన్ శరణం ప్రపన్నః టుక్ షెల్టర్. Translation in purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My Lord, as a lion drives away lesser animals to claim his proper tribute, you draw off the assembled kings with the resounding twang of your sharanga bow and then claimed me your fair share. Thus it is sheer foolishness, my dear Gadagraja, for you to say you took shelter in the ocean out of fear of those kings. Purport. In text 12 of this chapter, Lord Krishna said, Rajabhyo bhibhyataha subhru samudram sharanam gatam. Terrified of those kings, we went to the ocean for shelter. According to the Acharyas, Lord Krishna finally provoked Rukmini's anger by glorifying other men who might have been her husband, and thus in an agitated mood, she here tells him that she is not ignorant, but rather that he has spoken foolishly. She states, like a lion, you abducted me in the presence of those kings and drove them away with your sharanga bow. So it is simply foolishness to say that out of fear of those same kings, you went to the ocean. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, as Queen Rukmini spoke these words, he frowned and cast angry, sidelong glances at the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale స్వయం రూప కదామయ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతా పదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరువ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధువ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. At the outset, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas gathered here, so that I can speak a few words on this esoteric topic, on which so many exalted devotees have already spoken. I wish to add my mite, whatever it may be worth. So, this particular chapter is entitled, Krishna Teases Rukmini. What does teasing mean? To tease means to playfully make fun of somebody or attempt to provoke a person. That is the definition of teasing. Now, Krishna is Daksha. He is expert in everything that he does. Whether he is killing demons, whether he is playing Rasleela with the gopis, whether he is speaking the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, philosophical treatise to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, whether he is being a husband, whether he is being a father, a son, whatever he does it perfectly because he is Daksha. He is an expert in whatever he does. And in the present case, he is also expertly teasing Rukmini. He wants to provoke her. So, in the nectar of devotion, there are, and it is described that Krishna is Dhira Lalita. What is Dhira Lalita? A Dhira Lalita is a person who is naturally very funny. He is very funny, always in full youthfulness, expert in joking and free from all anxieties. This is Krishna. You never see Krishna in any anxious mood, whatever the situation. He is always full of joy. In fact, he is an ocean of transcendental bliss, whatever the circumstances. And this we see in all the pastimes of Krishna. I would like to describe a few in context of whatever verse we are discussing today. So, the demon Trunavarta, he was actually a servant of Kamsa who came to kill Krishna. He came to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. And he was like a torrent, he was like a whirlwind, you know, turning, turning, turning. And then he whisked away Krishna and he took him to the top of the sky. And Krishna was just a baby. And at that time, Krishna, somehow or the other, suddenly, without growing up physically, he added so much weight. He became so weighty. Krishna is a weighty proposition. He became weighty, very weighty, so weighty that the person, you know, the demon, you know, was literally helpless. And then Krishna just, you know, throttled him, just put a pressure on his neck, and his eyes bulged out, and he fell down. With a thud, he fell down on the ground. So, and when he fell down, there was so much sound, so much noise, and everybody was panicky. Where has Krishna gone? Where has Krishna gone? And people were rushing to see where Krishna is. And then they come, and what do they see? They see Krishna joyously playing on the body of, you know, Trunavarta. So, Trunavarta is lying dead, and Krishna is enjoying the situation. He is enjoying the situation. He is playfully, you know, enjoying the situation. So, he is uninjured. Nothing has happened to him. Free from any kind of misfortune. And this is Srila Prabhupada in his purport makes a beautiful comment. He says that this is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. In the purport he writes, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. So, Krishna is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. And in any condition, Krishna is Satchidananda. Whether he is on the top of a demon or whether he is lifting Govardhan, whatever, he is always joyous. There is no other description that you can make of him. Now, Krishna respected his elder brother Balaramji very much. And he also joked with him at times. One can take liberties with elders if there is close bond. Normally we don't crack jokes at the expense of elders, but Krishna he loved his elder brother and he respected him. So when Krishna and Balaram were sporting in Vrindavan, It so happened that Krishna saw very beautiful stately trees in Vrindavan with beautiful reddish buds, and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers, they were bending down to touch Krishna's feet actually, and with the tips of their branches, they were bent totally. So Krishna knew that the trees were, you know, bending down to offer respect to him personally. But then he was in a mood for joking. So he said that, "O greatest of lords," he said to Balaram, "just see how these trees are bowing down their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods." So he knew that the trees are worshipping him basically, but still he said this. So the trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. So trees normally, you know, are born because of their past deeds, and this is how Lord Krishna joked with Balaram. Then there is the famous pastime which you described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So during the month of Margashirsha, all the gopis every day, every morning, they would hold each other's hands, one another's hand, and then, you know, they would walk towards the Yamuna to have their customary bath. They were worshipping Katyayani with fervent prayers that Krishna should be their husband. All the gopis were praying like that. So desiring to obtain Krishna as their husband, every day of their life, they would offer, you know, incense, they would offer flowers, and somehow or the other please goddess Katyayani. So one day the young gopis went to Yamuna, and there they left their garments on the shore of the Yamuna river. And they started playing, you know, in the Yamuna waters. They were having a nice time. They were enjoying themselves. And all the clothes were lying on the bank of the river. And Krishna very mischievously removed all the clothes. He took all the clothes there. And he said to them that, "I see that every day you are performing such austerities, you know, you are going through so much trouble, you know, trying to offer worship to Mother Katyayani. All of you seem to be very much fatigued, and therefore, you know, you are bathing in these river waters. And now my suggestion is that if you want to be dressed, please come and collect your clothes from me." So Krishna has already whisked away all the clothes. So the gopis then pretended to be very, very angry. They said to Krishna, "Krishna, what you are doing is not right. We will report this matter to council and he will punish you." Now, nobody can scare Krishna. So Krishna said that, "Okay, I have no problem. You can go and report to anybody, any authority." He is the highest authority on the surface of earth. He said that you can complain. But then they also said that, "If on the other hand, Krishna, you return our clothes, we will willingly carry out all your orders. Whatever you say, we will do. So please, consider this proposal." So Krishna replied that he was not afraid of Kamsa, but if you want to pick up your clothes, please individually come one by one and collect this, your dress, whatever dress you are wearing, come and collect. So immediately come to the shore. This way, Krishna gave a reply. So the girls were literally trembling with cold. They climbed out of the water with their two hands, you know, covering themselves totally. And Krishna, who felt great affection for them, said, "Because while executing your vow, you bathed in the water naked, you committed an offense against demigods. Therefore, you must pay your obeisances with joined palms." Now, the gopis agreed even to this proposal. They were so surrendered to Krishna. They gave up all their sense of shame and whatever worldly, you know, so-called manners. They gave up everything and they completely surrendered to Krishna. Then Krishna said that, "Now your vows of austerity, you know, have achieved their success, whatever success you wanted to achieve, they have achieved." And this way it is described by Srila Prabhupada in the Purport that because the gopis had offered their hearts to him, their desires would never again become tainted by a mood of materialistic enjoyment. Just as fried barley corns can no longer grow into shoots, If you fry barley corns and you plant them, they are not going to grow into plants again. So similarly, it said that all your materialistic proclivities are now totally gone. Now you are on the transcendental platform. This way, Krishna teased them and enacted this very, very beautiful pastime described in the 10th canto. Then there are a couple of pastimes in the Nectar of Devotion, which Srila Rupa Goswami describes. We'll talk about them very briefly. So one day Krishna dressed up exactly like Srimati Radharani. In every possible way he was resembling Radharani. So he went to Radharani, dressed as Radharani, looking like Radharani. Then he went and addresses Radharani. He says, "Oh hard-hearted girl, don't you know that I am your sister? How is it that you have not greeted me, you know, with an embrace? How is it you have not done this? So please capture my shoulders and embrace me with love." So Radharani could understand that this was Krishna's purpose. But because she was in presence of so many others, she did not give an effective retort. So this way Krishna, you know, teased Srimati Radharani. Then one day there is another pastime which is well known, very famous. The so-called husband of Srimati Radharani, whose name was Abhimanyu, one day he was returning. At that time Krishna with his some friends was in the house of Srimati Radharani, and he saw from a distance that Radha's husband is returning home. So Krishna immediately changed himself into Abhimanyu. He changed into his dress and he was prototype of Abhimanyu. So he completely changed, transformed himself, and then he addressed Krishna as Abhimanyu now, addressed Jatila. Jatila, and he said that, "My dear mother, I am your real son Abhimanyu. Now look at that person who is walking towards the house, who is masquerading. He is actually Krishna masquerading as your son, whereas actually he was his son. So he says that he is coming towards the house. So now this is, I'm just keeping this, giving this information to you." So Krishna was capable of, you know, literally enacting all kinds of, you know, humorous situations in which he would derive a lot of joy from these pastimes. And then one more pastime from Nectar of Devotion. So one day in a very joking mood, Krishna informed Radharani that, "I am going to give up your company." He was with Radharani. They were enjoying beautiful pastime, having very nice time. And suddenly Krishna told Radharani that, you know, "I am leaving your company." So when he said that, upon saying this, and Krishna disappeared from the spot. So Radharani was completely overwhelmed with anguish and grief. She didn't know what to expect. Her dear Lord has gone away. And she virtually, because the emotion, this ecstasy of, you know, separation, impending separation, Krishna was so great that she completely, you know, broke down and she fell down. She collapsed on the ground. And then Krishna was not there. In Nectar of Devotion it is described that Radharani somehow or the other smelt some beautiful flowers. She smelt the earth there, and then she came back to consciousness and realized that this is Krishna's pastime which is going on. This way there are so many pastimes which Krishna has performed which can be classified under the term teasing. So what we are now reading is also a pastime connected with teasing. Now Krishna is no longer in Vrindavan. He is Dwarkadhish. He has 16,108 wives, and Rukmini is his Pattarani, the principal queen. And now he is in Rukmini's palace, sitting on a beautiful, you know, mancha, very beautiful cot, and she is being, you know, served by none other than Rukmini Devi herself. She is fanning him. Though there are so many servants, so many people. So, what is, and as Krishna is being so beautifully served by Rukmini Devi, what are the thoughts of Krishna? Krishna is thinking that Rukmini is such a beauty, so beautiful, always gentle, never envious. You give her a Parijata flower and you give the Parijata tree to Satyabhama. no effect on Rukmini. She is unfazed. She is absolutely, joyous. Never, she never ever lost her equanimity. And she was always smiling, always serving. So this is goddess of Lakshmi herself, Lakshmi Devi herself, Rukmini Devi. And she, her one agenda in life was to somehow or the other make Krishna happy. Here, Krishna wanted to extract some joy in a different way. He thought that I'm always seeing Rukmini in this very gentle, loving, caring mood. I want to see a frown on her face. I want to see her, make her angry. So, she never has a frown on her face, in contrast to Satyabhama, who could be easily, irritated, who could easily be angered. So that Rukmini Devi never has a frown. So, it will be so nice, it will be so such an happy thing for me if I were to see a frown or her angry face. For a change, let me see that. So therefore, he starts irritating her, starts teasing her. So but how does Krishna provoke Rukmini? Not by using any harsh words, not by being rough with Rukmini. He never could be rough with Rukmini. She was his most beloved wife. But what did he do? He went down the memory lane. Went down the memory lane. Now at this stage, when Krishna is sitting on the bed of Rukmini Devi, they are married long, long ago. They are grandparents virtually. And Krishna is using this time, to provoke Rukmini, who still looks very, very beautiful, very, very charming. So, he begins by telling her that, Rukmini, you have made a very serious mistake. Very serious mistake in choosing me as a husband when you had so many better options. You had so many options at that time. And despite that, you chose me. Of all the people, you chose me. Now, at that point in time, your elder brother, Rukmi, and your father, Bhishmaka, both of them were keen that you should be married to the Shishupal, the king of Chedi. So you should have married him. And instead of that, you chose me. So, who is not even your equal? I was not even your equal. I am a covered boy and you are a queen. So why did you marry me? Then the second point he says that I am a coward. I am a coward. And basically, the fear of kings like Shishupal, Jarasandha and others, because of that fear, I went and hid in this under the sea and created a kingdom there of Dwarka. This way, Krishna is putting himself down. He is undermining his own greatness and putting down. And incidentally, this concept of this idea that Krishna went and hid himself in the sea out of fear, this particular thought is voiced by none other than Jarasandha himself. So Krishna is actually using examples from his own experience and citing them. So there was a time when Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to perform the Rajasuya Yajna, and almost all the kings were vanquished, but only Jarasandha was not vanquished. So on the advice of Uddhava, they decided, Uddhava said that don't wage a war against Jarasandha, don't wage a battle against him. You just go and challenge him for a fight. So Krishna, then Bhima and Arjuna, three of them, dressed as Brahmanas, go to Jarasandha's kingdom, Magadha. They go there and then they challenge Jarasandha. And at that time, they don't indicate that they are, Kshatriyas, but Jarasandha suspects that they are Kshatriyas. And after some time, Krishna says, don't think that, we are Brahmanas. We are actually Kshatriyas. This is Arjuna. And this is Bhima. And I am your permanent enemy, Krishna, with whom you have fought 17 times and you have defeated 17 times. So now, so you can choose any one of us and fight with us. At that time, Jarasandha, he says that I am not going to fight with Arjuna. Why? Because, you know, he looks kind of weak before me. You know, I am so stout, so built. Then I am not going to fight with you, Krishna. Why? So, Shukadeva Goswami describes it very nicely. Natvaya bhiruna yotse yudhi vikalpate jasa mathura swapurim tyaktva samudram sharanam gata. Says that he tells Krishna that Krishna, out of fear, you left your own kingdom, Mathura, and took shelter under the sea in Dwarka. Bhiruna, you are a coward, virtually coward, so I don't want to fight with you. And then he says that I'll fight with Bhima. And it is described that Bhima eventually killed Jarasandha. So this perception that Krishna is a coward is given by Jarasandha, and here Krishna is quoting that. He says that, you know, I am a coward, you know, I took shelter of the sea for this reason, this way. So he gives so many other points. He says that I am Nishkinchana, I am materially unqualified, I have nothing. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj spoke so beautifully on this particular point. He said that I am not equal to you in wealth, birth or influence or physical appearance, but basically he said that the entire material world, everything is within you. All the opulence, all the wealth, all the riches of this entire universe, they are all within you. So where is the question of your possessing something? So the word that you have used, Nishkinchana, is appropriate. That's what Rukmini tells. This way. And then the statement, then Krishna actually threw a bombshell. He says that you should now accept somebody else as a husband. You know, I'll quit. So, in modern times, this would be called as divorce notice, oral. But never mind. But Krishna is doing it very playfully. And then that was the stage where Rukmini was really hurt, that she really felt that Krishna is rejecting her. And then Krishna says, you know, kings like Shishupal, Shalya, then Jarasandha, Dantavakra, they all hate me. They are all well-established kings, they all hate me. And you know what, I am Atmaram. You know, we are always pleased within ourselves. And therefore, we really do not care much for family or wealth. Describing Krishna is saying. And then, all this when it was said, Rukmini was literally stunned. She was stunned and her hair became disheveled. She fell down unconscious from the cot. Literally fell down. And at that time, Sri Krishna, he became Chaturbhuja. He took that Narayan form. Yesterday I think it was being described that he Narayan form, you know. So he, Chaturbhuja Krishna, he picked up Rukmini. And then, you know, he smoothened her hair, literally consoled her and told her that I was just joking, you know. I was just joking with you. I was not really considering, you know, leaving you and going. How can leave such a devoted wife? I am not considering that. So, therefore, actually in one sense, Krishna's teasing experiment, it had failed. So, he wanted to tease her in a unique way by degrading himself in her eyes, but then that had failed miserably. Rukmini saw through his things. So, after Krishna consoled Rukmini very tenderly, he said that I spoke to you in jest, and therefore don't get worried. So he was successful. Krishna is, as I said, was daksha. He was successful in convincing Rukmini also that he was really not wanting to leave her. Though he had said so many things, he convinced her that I didn't want to leave you, really. And then, after Rukmini was at peace with herself, then she started actually giving rejoinder to whatever statements Krishna had made. Krishna had made so many statements to irritate her and to tease her. So, Krishna had said that there was no compatibility factor. There was no compatibility between them. The compatibility is a big issue in marriages. They, you know, match horoscopes and all that. So, compatibility factor has been there since Satya Yuga. We read about it in Srimad Bhagavatam.
So when Devahuti was married to Kardama Muni, Srila Prabhupada writes about compatibility in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that has always remained. So Krishna is telling her, Krishna had said that there is no compatibility. Now very sweetly, Rukmini Devi argues. She says that what you say is true. There is no compatibility. So I agree with you. But she says that how can there be compatibility when you know I am an ordinary mundane, you know, princess, daughter of a king, whereas you are the supreme personality of Godhead. So there cannot be compatibility. So what you say is right. I agree with you. This way he comes out with the rejoinder. Then Krishna had made a statement that he and the Yadavas had taken shelter due to fear of kings. Here, Rukmini points out that the actual rulers are the three modes of nature, gunas. And because people in this worldly environment, they become, take shelter of the gunas, they are most miserable. But you, as a compassionate super soul in everybody's heart, you give them solace. So this way, what you say is right. I agree with you. Then Krishna had said that he is Nishkinchan. Now, to this point, Rukmini brilliantly refutes, saying that you are indeed Nishkinchan because you are a pauper. And why are you pauper? Because everything in this material world, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam, you are enveloping the entire universe, and everything that is there is yours anyway. So you know, don't need to possess anything specifically. All the wealth is within you. It is surrounding you. So you don't have to physically possess anything. Therefore, you are Nishkanchana. And then Krishna had said that marriage and friendship are proper between two people who are equal in terms of their wealth, birth, influence, and physical appearance. Rukmini says that you are the embodiment of all human goals and are yourself the final aim of life. You yourself are the real friend and companion. And then Krishna had said, this was discussed recently, that Bhikshubihi Shlaghita Mudha. He said that Krishna had said that he is being glorified only by beggars. Here Rukmini Devi very brilliantly points out that the so-called beggars are actually great sages. They are Paramahamsas. So it is the Paramahamsas who are, actually glorifying you. So why are you saying that, you are being glorified by beggars? So Rukmini refutes that point also. Then the text that we are now reading, today's text, Rukmini is saying that, O Krishna, jadyam, she says, jadyam vachas tava gadagraja. He says that, she's saying that, my Lord, as a lion drives away lesser animals to claim his proper tribute, you drove off all the assembled kings with resounding twang of your sharanga bow and then claimed me. So that is your fair share. So where is it that it is said that you were afraid? You are never ever afraid. In fact, by the twang of your sharanga bow, all the kings fled in fear. So who is afraid of whom? They are afraid of you. You are not afraid of them. This way, Rukmini refutes that point also. So this way, terrified of those kings, we went to the ocean for shelter. She says this is nonsense. In other words, she doesn't use the word nonsense, but she says that it is foolish. She says that you have spoken foolishly. She states that like a lion, you abducted me in the presence of those kings and drove them away. So who is afraid of whom? You are not afraid of anyone. They were afraid of you. So this way, she dares to call Krishna foolish in this endeavor. This way, it's a loving exchange between a wife and a husband. And she says, this is the ultimate limit. You are saying that you are afraid, whereas in fact, they were afraid and ran away. So this is the ultimate limit. So this way, this teasing experiment, the defense of all the points will come in the future classes. I don't want to steal thunder from the future speakers. I was just pertaining to what I have said. Now, we recently celebrated Ram Navami. And a question may arise in our minds. Did the Supreme Lord Ram, did he joke at any time? Because when we think of Prabhu Ramchandra, we always think of somebody who's very, you know, serious, dhira, gambhira. Did he joke at any time? That is the question that may arise. And yes, he did joke. And this is this is actually when during the 10th winter of their exile, Sri Ram, Lakshman and Sita, they approach Agastya Muni and they ask him, can you suggest a suitable place where we can go and, you know, spend our time? So that Agastya Muni at that time points out Panchavati, the forest of Panchavati. He says, you go there. It's a very nice place, you go there. And there, Lakshmana builds a beautiful cottage for them to stay. And then, of course, he never enjoys the cottage. He stays guard, you know, he was always outside taking, you know, protecting Sita and Ram. So, they lived there very happily. Every day of their life, they would, you know, bathe in the beautiful waters of Godavari Nadi. And then, you know, this way, in that tranquil atmosphere, they would enjoy the sights of the forest. Scenically, the place was very, very beautiful, very, very captivating. So they would enjoy all the sights there and happy. And you require somebody to come and spoil your happiness. And that was Shurpanakha. So Shurpanakha came there one day. The sister of Ravana, she came there and she was looking for human food. And when she arrived at Rama's cottage, she saw Lord Ram. Now, Lord Ram was powerfully built. His frame was very, very powerful. He was majestic. When you look at him, he was very, very majestic bearing and very handsome, looks like a Cupid, more handsome than Cupid himself. So, Valmiki Ramayana uses the word, Kandarpa sadrusha prabham babhuva indropamam rakshasi kama mohita. So the rakshasi became kama mohita. She was overwhelmed by lust. And therefore she was a very difficult person to look at, actually, hideous. But she took on a very beautiful form and she walked slowly towards Lord Ram. Very, very enticingly she walked, you know, she walked very nicely. And then she asked Ram, who are you? Who are you? You are dressed in the garb of, you know, ascetics, and yet you are wielding, you know, weapons. Who are you? Why have you come to this forest? Please tell me. So Valmiki Ramayana says, Rujutva buddhitaya sarvam akhyat. Sri Ram, though he knew that here is a she demon, he very guilelessly, it is described. Rujutva means guileless. He was guileless and simple. He informed Shurpanakha, I am the son of Dashrath Maharaj. This person here, he is Lakshmana, my younger brother. And this is Vaidehi, my wife Sita. Now you tell me who you are and why have you come here. So at that time, and then he tells also that on my father's command, you know, I am here in this forest. I am going to continue in this forest. And you seem to be a Rakshasi and capable of assuming various forms. Why have you approached me, Rama sir? At that time, Shurpanakha looked at Ram, you know, very coyly, you know, as women can tend to look coyly. And he said that, I am the sister of unconquerable Ravana. And I live with my brothers Khara and Dushana here in this forest. And I move about, you know, gobbling up people, eating people. I just move about here and there. And I devour everyone. But after seeing you from a distance, I now long to be your wife. I long to be your wife. Hearing that she was a Rakshasi, both Lakshmana, looking at her form, one could not make out that she is a Rakshasi. Both Lakshmana and Ram looked at her in surprise. In fact, she was looking like a person in a maiden from the celestial world, so finely dressed, full of ornament and looking beautiful. Then, when they said that, she, Shurpanakha, came close to Ram and she said that, O Ram, of what use to you is this skinny and deformed woman? He is referring to Sita. Of what use is she? So I am compatible. I am ahameva anurupate bharya rupena pashyame. He says, bharya rupena pashyame. Look at me as if, you know, I am your wife. I am anurupa. This lady is all, you know, weakling, you know, krisha. So, then Sri Ram laughed heartily when he heard this. No? This was possibly, it amused him no end. Because after exile, after spending so many years, killing so many demons, this must have been a distraction which he wanted. He said, he thought, you know, let me joke with this lady. Therefore I am discussing this pastime. It is there in the Ramayana. And this lady is infatuated, and let us joke with her. Then he says that, here is my younger brother, very handsome, Lakshmana is his name, very, very handsome, highly qualified. And what is more, he's alone here. So he's a better bet for you. You just, you know, go to him. And Shurpanaka wastes no time. She's so much, you know, infatuated, Kamatura. He says, Iti Ramena, Ramena sa prokta, Rakshasi kama mohita, Visrujya Ramam sahasa, Tato Lakshmanam abravid. 1 minute earlier, she was wooing, you know, Prabhu Ramchandra. No sooner Prabhu Ramchandra said that, I know I am a married person, I have a wife, and you know, I cannot afford to marry you. Here is my brother. She immediately Visrujya Ramam, she gave up on Ram, and she went to Lakshmana. And Shurpanaka said to Lakshmana, just see my alluring form. Just see my form. And I am certainly worthy of becoming your wife. Oh, handsome one, let us live happily in these woods. So Lakshmana, you know, caught on the mood of Prabhu Ram. He understood what Ram was wanting. And then she says very beautifully, Katham dasyasya me dasi bharya bhavitum ichyasi. Says that, why are you, you know, wanting to become the wife of a person who is dasa? I am dasa of Lord Ram and Sita Devi. I am serving them. And why do you want to become my wife? You will end up being a dasi. You will end up being a dasi. Therefore, it is proper that, you know, you go back to Ram. He can always afford to have one more wife. You go back to him. So he sends her back to Ram. So, in one sense, you know, you feel sorry for Shurpanaka. She is being, you know, like a shuttlecock, tossed from one to the other, from Prabhu Ram to Lakshman and from Lakshman to Ram. So she comes back to Prabhu Ram. She says that, now, he says that, I want to marry you. You are my, I want to make you my husband. And if this weakling of a girl, skinny girl, if she is standing between you and me, then I will kill her, I'll kill your brother, and after that, you know, let us live very happily. So, she virtually tries to pounce on Sita Devi. So, when Shurpanaka tries to pounce on Sita Devi, that is the time Prabhu Ramchandra comes out with a big roar. So, it is described that because of Prabhu Ramchandra's roar, Shurpanaka actually fell back. She fell back. And that is the time when Lord Ram tells Lakshman, he says that enough is enough. We should not crack jokes with people who have no intellect, whose minds, you know, are very feeble and very weak. We should not crack jokes with such people. Now, she is very vicious. She is hideous. This is the time that you have to teach her a lesson. He says that you chop off her ears, pointed ears, and you chop off her nose, but don't kill her. Why? Because she is a woman. This way, Lord Ram instructs Lakshman, and then Lakshman executes the order. Her nose, nasika, it falls down. That's how the term nasik comes into being. So, this way, Lord Ram, normally we don't identify himself with joking pastimes, but in this way he joked with her. So I'd like to end with one small little anecdote from Mahabharata. So in Mahabharata we find that Yudhishthira Maharaj is an epitome of patience. He never gets angry, never ever gets angry. always peaceful. And one day it is described in Vanaparva of Mahabharata that Draupadi one day decided that I should, you know, irritate and tease Yudhishthira Maharaj, provoke him to become angry. She also wanted to see him becoming angry, just as Krishna wanted to see Rukmini becoming angry. Draupadi wanted to see Dharmaraj becoming angry. So she said the following words. She said, I am the daughter of the king of Vidarbha. And I am the sister, you know, of such a great prince like Drishtadyumna. I am the wife of you, all of you, great Pandavas. Don't you feel any bitterness or any anger when you see me and all your brothers, you know, roaming about in the forest and being so much troubled by everything that they are doing? Don't you feel anger against anyone? She says then that I feel, seeing you so peaceful, even when you have been provoked so much, I feel that you have no kshatra tej. Now this is the ultimate insult that a kshatriya has to face. Says you have no kshatra tej because you have no anger in you. So in other words, she is trying to say that you are not a kshatriya. So no shame, that's the word, not using the word shame. Because you have no kshatra teja, and therefore, you know, you are at all times peaceful. No, she says that I understand that forgiveness is an astounding transcendental quality. I can understand if you forgive, you know, people, but I can't see any reason why you should forgive ruthless people like the sons of Dhritarashtra who have virtually tormented us. Why should you forgive such a person? I understand you forgive somebody who comes to you, takes your shelter and says, you know, sorry, I committed an offense, please forgive me. I understand you are forgiving such a person. But people like Duryodhan and his brothers, you are wanting to forgive them? This is the height of, you know, your absence of kshatriya teja. So she becomes annoyed. At that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj, there is a long dialogue, I am not going into it. But she says, Yudhishthira Maharaj tells her, he tells her that, Devi, what you say is not wrong, but it is, if one becomes angry with the person who has angered you, then both sides, you know, lose out. You should actually forgive the person who is the cause or who is the object of your anger. You should forgive such a person. When you do that, both parties will be happy. In fact, he quotes Kashyapa Muni. He says that Kashyapa Muni, he says that forgiveness is the ultimate, transcendental quality which people should have. You can forgive. Forgiveness is actually the shastra. Forgiveness is everything in this life. So, lady, please accept me as I am and learn to subdue the anger and forgive those people who have been the object of your anger. This way, Dharmaraj instructs Draupadi. So this is an episode in Mahabharata. I thought I would share this with you. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any comments or anything, then please feel free. श्रीमद् भागवत पुराणम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।